Hello and welcome to Shoes Off No Cap, a podcast where we talk about all things dance. We're back again with Dalila, who graduated from Aswara, the National Academy of Arts, Culture and Heritage. In Aswara, she learned about and trained in various types of traditional dance, so we had to ask her more about it. She gave the lowdown on the types of Malaysia traditional dance, why it's important to preserve traditional dances, which one is her favourite, and how we can learn and support our dance heritage. So sit back, relax, and let's dive deep into traditional dance with No Cap.
So you studied and learned traditional dance, right? Can you just like give us an overview of what Malaysia traditional dance like consists of? What kind of dances are there? How many are there?
Okay. Well, I can't really tell you how many are there. It's actually a lot, but I can definitely tell you in the overview and how do we classify them, like how I learned in Aswara. So basically, traditional dances in Malaysia is divided into folk, classic and also ethnic dance. So when we say folk traditional dance, the dances mostly originates from the society or the people. And these dances are mostly created and performed in social events, like if someone gets married or just like gathering at night or just as a form of entertainment whenever, you know, they are bored and they just want to get together. For classical dance, classic traditional dances, these dances originate from the palace, meaning from royalty. The dances are born in the palace and it's performed for the royalty.
They're born in the palace?
Born in the palace, meaning the dance is created in the palace. That's what I mean. Yeah.
The dancers. Because I heard the dancers.
Yeah, the dancers. So, yeah. Sorry. Without the R. So these dances were created in the palace and were mostly performed to the royalty for their event. So it's mostly within closed doors. Yeah.
I see.
Then we have ethnic dances, which is mostly dances from our Sabah and Sarawak friends. You know, their Iban, Kadazan, Luzon dances. That's, they call them ethnic dances.
Would you say that like if we were to like, let's say you have a time machine and you go back like 400 years ago.
Okay.
And you just go to some random kampung. Would it be accurate to say that like more people back then knew about their folk dances, their cultural dances than now?
I would say yeah, definitely.
It was a very common thing, right?
It was a very common
Malays
thing.
For Malays to just come and get down, you know?
It's like, yes. It's like the native people still in this world, right? Like some native cultures, they just do dance.
Exactly.
In gatherings and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. And back during the days, especially folk dances, it's not really as structured as now. They're more, you know, moving with their own groove. You know, some people will probably go down one knee. Some people will stand up. You know, some people will probably put one hand higher than the other. And it was just really very minimal. And it was all about the song, the atmosphere, and mostly about celebrating a rare occasion that happens, more like a rite of passage in everyone's life, you know, like when a child is born, when someone gets married, things like that. Yeah.
Because like from how I see it, like traditionally Malay culture is very jovial, you know.
Yes.
Like, we have songs and we have dance to celebrate, you know, all things about life, you know, like you mentioned, you know, when someone is born, when a baby is born, it's a cause for celebration. When someone gets married, it's a cause for celebration. Hey, let's come together, let's dance, let's sing. I think you would know this like better than all of us. That's why I'm asking you. So like where do you think culture kind of changed, you know, like because we don't really see that nowadays.
Why?
Yeah, at one point in time did it change, you know?
Well, honestly, I don't know if I'm the right person to answer this because I grew up in the city. And honestly, I started off with learning street dance first, baru I belajar more about traditional dance, you know? Traditional dance has always been secondary. It was not until I enrolled myself in Aswara where I was exposed to all these types of traditional dance that I begin to grow an interest, you know? So I guess the reason why people don't practice our cultural dances as much is because the family doesn't really continue the tradition in a way. Because my family certainly did not dance any type of traditional dances. I think the only traditional quote unquote dance they did was probably pocho pocho kot. And tupun, I don't know whether it's actually called a traditional dance, you know. But at the back of our head, we do hear inang, zape, joget. I tak pernah nampak right in front of my eye growing up.
When I was in primary school, I did learn a bit macam inang, zape, sikit lah.
Sama lah. When I was in high school, baru my teacher ajar, you know, inang, zape, joget. And she's not actually like well-experienced traditional dance teacher, tapi she has performed quite a number of times in her younger days. So she just taught us whatever she knew. And because she was so passionate and she encouraged us so much that I began to really grew an interest in it. So even though the steps were simple, it was repetitive, tapi it just gave me like macam a soft spot inside.
When you were in Aswara, didn't they like teach you the history or the politics maybe of the Malaysian traditional dance? Like, didn't you like learn how it evolved and all that?
We did.
Okay.
Definitely, we did. How it evolved, we definitely learned, tapi how it kind of lost interest in the younger days generation, it mostly went back to technology and also not enough people practicing it and also not enough documentation. Documentation was a big chunk of it, you know. The past didn't actually document what they did. We didn't have enough recordings of all things, of the song, of what they wore, of the dances, of the history. And whenever we want to interview back these pioneer of dances, you know, they're old and they can't remember. The way they dance is also different. So it's really hard to really revive the dance in its original form. So we kind of have to take whatever that we get and kind of adapt it. If it gets approved by the pioneer, then I guess it's a chance for us to actually preserve that traditional dance. Rather than not having anything at all.
Is there like a recorded date on like the origins of the traditional dance, like when it started and all that?
For year, yes. Tapi exact date, so far tak ada. It was mostly like in between this century and that century, something like that.
What's the earliest?
Well, this I can't really remember, to be honest. I'm really sorry, guys. Tapi it really, most dances memang went back to masa, you know, Tanah Melayu dijajah lah when British came.
Yeah, that was what I was wondering. Is it when Para Mesuara came to Melaka, that point, or like after that, or even before that?
Oh, I think this one I really don't know. Because honestly, like, the traditional dance that we're learning now probably is very different from what, you know, Para Mesua punya era were doing, you know. Like I said, there were not enough documentations, you know, on how these dances were actually performed and danced back then. But we take what we get, and I am really not sure, like, my version, what the traditional dances that I learned, we did have a rough date, which I can't really remember. I think it probably didn't go way back sampai Para Mesuara, tapi we believe that people were practicing these dances, cuma we don't know in what way or in what form.
I see.
For the benefit of listeners who don't know who Para Mesuara is, in textbook he's basically like the king of Singapore or something.
He fled because of the Majapahit Empire, remember?
I'm looking at this Wikipedia.
Then he fled to Temasek, which is Singapore.
But he was the king, right?
He fled to Malacca. They say that he was a prince who fled because like he had like a small kingdom or some sort. Even if it's small, they still call it a kingdom anyway.
Yeah.
And then he fled. And then it was his lineage that like established the first few Malay sultans. And then from there, they all went around to different states. But Malays back then, they weren't like very big on historical documentation, as Dalila said, you know. Like they're not like Chinese history, you know, they record everything, you know, like this king, blah 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 blah. So we weren't too big of that. See, now we don't even know what happened.
Yeah, but there are a few articles by professors that has written history about Joget Gamelan by my teacher, Dr. Marian, Professor Anis, who has written a number of articles Joseph about Zapin, Sir Joseph Gonzalez also a few. So they are, but it's just really, it's not really difficult to get. Cuma in order to get them, you have to have connections. Some of it is public, which you can go search for it. But like, if you don't know who these people are, you probably don't know what they were doing and what they were researching about. Like, I only know because I was in Astora. Hence, indirectly, I kind of got the Tumba primer lah, kiranya. You know? And I have these resources that I can look up to. Tapi you always wish that there's more into it. And whenever you compare, let's say when I go to Hawaii and when I want to look for a certain topic, boom, there's like 10, 20 essays about it. Or even more.
There's a lot of literature about it, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying like even right now, we don't have enough information about traditional dance here?
Yes, because I'm, you know, I'm always curious about new dances, and it's always, you know, this dance comes from where, why is it dance, and this is the song, and this is the dance, and that's pretty much about it. You know, like, I would really want to know what inspired that dance, you know, who was actually the pioneer, what's his life story about, how was it danced back in the days, you know, some analysis about the music, the costume even, why they chose this and that. But I guess in a way, macam, maybe our culture was very bersahaja in a way, that they just really went with the flow, you know.
So it's so Malay.
Like, macam, you know, kita rasa kita suka benda ni, then we do it. Maybe, I'm really not sure. There's a certain beauty into it, but whenever we want to do more analysis, then, you know, we kind of don't know where to expand from that.
So do you think there's still hope to like get all the info, considering like maybe some of the pioneers are like deceased or like the cultures don't practice it anymore?
I think there's still hope because I still have a few friends who are actually doing the work, you know.
Oh, okay.
And I really, really admire them for being patient. It's really, really not easy because some of the pioneers, they are scared to share the information because they actually want you to honor the dance. They really take pride in the dance. They don't want to just simply give it to people who just want it for fame because, you know, when you discover a dance, then you claim it as your own, you know, that kind of thing. Don't want that to happen. And, you know, they really just want the dance to be treated respectfully. And if you want to expand it from there, then also do so respectfully. There's certain aesthetics that you need to comply to. And yeah, just really basically just respect the dance lah.
How can we do that? How can you respect the dance?
Respect the dance by performing how it should be at first, like learning the basics first and asking questions about it. And then most importantly is if you want to experiment with the dance as a base, then maybe ask the pioneer, is it possible? You know, can I actually contemporize this dance because I want to explore more with this movement vocabulary, you know? Because sometimes, you know, these pioneers, diorang tak faham why we want to contemporize or why we want to expand movements from traditional dance. Diorang ingatkan kita suka-suka nak expand because kita nak rosakkan budaya, you know? Back during, you know, they just, they are happy with simple movements, you know? And honestly, they're just happy with repeating the same movements because to them, I don't know, they just live the simple life and to them, they just don't mind it. To them, repeating the same thing is actually honoring some sort of tradition, basically. So when you go against that, for no reason, they think that you are actually not respecting the tradition. So we need
understandable.
We need to explain to them that no, bukan macam ni. Kita nak actually show to the younger generation that this is actually derived from a traditional dance, a beautiful traditional dance, you know. And we also want to bring this traditional dance forward. And you know, being in the dance industry, you have to tell them that we're doing dance full time, we are choreographing dance full time, and we're always looking for new inspiration and ideas, and we always want to try and relate back to our roots, you know. So this is actually a huge honor for us to actually use the movement vocabulary from this traditional dance and incorporate it to our new work, a more contemporized version. Yeah, because I don't know, most pioneers probably think that a career in dance is probably dancers under government yang menari untuk tourism, you know. I think that's the furthest they go to. They don't know that actually there's a whole side of a dance career now in this era, which is actually honoring all these traditional dances in a new contemporary way.
I think they are afraid that we will commercialize traditional dance.
yes. And the last thing I know, I probably hear this a lot lah. Alah, menari traditional senang je, you know. Step simple, step ulang-ulang, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I used to think that also. I used to think, actually traditional dance have fun je, you know. It's nothing too serious. Tapi when I went to Aswara, it's not wrong for you to think that traditional dance is easy atau macam it's repetitive and apa, it's not just as hard as any other dances, tapi it's really, really important for you to appreciate the simplicity of it and really dance it well, you know, because if you consider yourself as a dancer and you belajar from Aswara, where we actually provide you with the history of the dance, we provide you on how to style accordingly towards the dance, what to wear, what music to use, how to count the music, you know, what's the story behind the dance, you have a certain responsibility to actually showcase the dance how it should be or how you learned it to be, because it took a long time for Aswara to actually make it into a syllabus. So it became like a responsibility for us as students to really showcase traditional dance and place it as highly as possible. That's really what Aswara taught me. So yes, traditional dance, simple step, betul. Repetitive step, betul. But can everyone perform it well? No. Can everyone have a beautiful charisma when performing? No. Can everyone relate to the dance when performing it? No. Do some people look very awkward dancing it? Yes.
So are you saying that like not everyone should dance traditional dance?
Everyone should dance traditional dance and everyone should love traditional dance, but just don't take it lightly, you know? Just appreciate it like how you would appreciate doing hip hop foundation, you know? You are bouncing all the time. You are crossing your leg, doing it over and over again. Hip hop foundation is in a way a traditional dance because it has existed for a long time. People are still practicing it till this day. So in a way, it is a traditional dance.
That's a good point of view.
So why can't we appreciate our traditional dance the same way we appreciate hip-hop traditional dance?
What's the best way to like for us to, I guess my question is, how do we start appreciating, like start doing, because it's like social thing, right? Traditional dance, it used to be a social thing. So how do we like incorporate it into our lives right now? This modern life.
Honestly, I really like you guys asking me about traditional dance. It's already a way of showing support, you know, showing interest. And whenever you look at someone dancing traditional dance, you know, you can just compliment them or, you know, just say something about how you feel watching the dance. It's just simple gestures, you know, simple gestures like that really shows people that still practices and still teaches traditional dance that even though you might not know what they are dancing about, but you actually love what they're doing and you compliment them for it. Because I can tell you that the reason why I love traditional dance so much is because I had seniors that dance them so beautifully, you know, and it was a huge privilege for me. So I would say if you come across any productions that involve traditional dance, please go for it, because productions that are not government funded, especially these are ones that they train very vigorously, you know, and sometimes they even showcase new dances that they manage to revive, or even some government showcases where they actually kind of repeat what are the dance repertoires they have and just perform it for the public every time to time. Yeah. So government bodies like DBKL, JKKN, Istana Budaya, all these organizations from time to time, they will always perform in events like macam Hari Merdeka ke, or even events under the government lah, basically. And even productions where they collaborate within each other. These are the productions that I would really encourage people to go and watch. And then you can see with your own eyes how beautiful traditional dance is. Yeah, I think it's really, really important for those who actually had the privilege to learn traditional dance, whether be it from senior, from teacher, or from an institution. Really, in a way, if you don't really have like a deep passion for it, pun, I feel it's really important that you keep talking about it and you still practice it somewhat in your dance, like macam just occasionally show your appreciation just to keep the dance alive, and also tell your friends that you actually did learn it and how you feel about it.
Why do we need to keep the dance alive? Yeah. Like, because like we already know that there might be like countless traditional mm-hmm. Malay dances that are lost to time that we know. So why is it so important to keep these ones alive right now?
Because these are the foundation. These are the dances that exist in our countries, you know, the dances that have gone through shifts of time, you know, like it's like history. These dances are history and these dances are the identity of our right. country. So for me, traditional dance is my foundation. Mm. You know, I did a few dance here and there, but I feel my true dance foundation was traditional dance. It not only taught me the foundation of dance, tapi it taught me about life, you know, budi pekerti orang Melayu dulu, how sopan, and you know, the interaction between society is, and also how cheeky the interaction between men and women, because if you know, dalam joget, zapin, inang semua, it's all about teasing the boy, teasing the girl, and the girl teasing back. You know,
yo, they be flirting, man. They got moves.
Okay.
All of our ancestors got moves, guys.
Yeah, so.
No wonder they all got laid.
Yeah. I need to learn traditional dance.
Yep.
It's just so much fun and it's just a treasure. Traditional dance is really like gold to me, like treasure. And it's really important for us to keep this alive, because imagine losing a part of history. That's how it would feel like if we slowly lose more and more of this traditional dance. You know, because these are the dances that exist in our country firsthand.
And it shaped us, lah.
It really shaped us. Yeah. It shaped us. So it's like history textbook, you koyak satu page. Then you better lose information sikit. Yeah.
It's a big part of our identity, right?
Yeah. And I just feel like if you really gave traditional dance a chance, it could really spark something in you. Because I've seen a lot of dancers who actually had street dance background, and all of them could relate to at least one style of traditional dance.
Do they have to be a part of the ethnic group of that traditional dance?
No. Like I had a friend like Maria Devon Escobar is my good friend. She's from Sabah. She actually loves the tarian piring, and for her final year project, even though it was required for her to actually derive a choreography from a traditional dance, she immediately knew that she wanted to do tarian piring. She even competed in the World Championship of Performing Arts in Malaysia punya audition round performing tarian. Oh my god, my ex-managing director under ADC tu, Abang Imran, he's Malay, but he actually graduated full syllabus from Bharatanatyam Dance, Indian Classical Dance. Wow. Yeah, the so he's actually certified to teach Bharatanatyam dance alongside with his colleague Kimberly, who is Chinese.
So what's your favorite traditional dance?
My favorite traditional dance is Malay dance. Malay traditional dance. It was immediately connected to it. Anything folk, anything classical, from silat, semua I suka. I remember one time where ADC collaborated with Aswara to produce this production called Malay Classical Night, where we performed all Malay classical dances. I really enjoyed myself. It was just amazing.
Okay, so let's say I've gotten really inspired by you.
Okay.
And I want to learn traditional dance as well. Mm-hmm. What can I do?
You can definitely DM me, because I do teach traditional Malay dance.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes.
Talk about your classes.
Yeah, so right now I am opening up classes. I teach Malay traditional dance, contemporary technique, contemporary choreography, and also Malay traditional dance fusion with contemporary choreography. So for Malay traditional dance, since we're talking about it, I'm actually starting with the basics, which is Inang, Joget dengan Zapin. So these are three folk dance, basic folk dance, Malay folk dance. But if you don't want to learn from me, that's fine. You can go search on Instagram, Malaysian Dance Center. They do offer Malay traditional dance classes as well. Nyala Dance Theater, Dancer Fusion, Choreo Lab. If you need information about all these dance studios, you can definitely DM me or email me. I'll be happy to help you out. Yeah.
Excellent. excellent. That's really, really helpful resources for everyone.
So like, say after, you know, I've learned traditional dance and all that, is there like any opportunity for me to make it a career? How can someone who specializes in traditional dance make it as a career?
Of course you can. There are not many that I know, but it's definitely possible. How you can make it a career is really like train really hard in these dances and also know your facts, like the history of the dance, the costume, the song, and how to maintain the aesthetics, and really go out of your way to actually reach out to the pioneers and get extensive research to back up your choreography or to back up your information, basically. But there's really a few ways you can go about it. Some of my seniors, they actually teach these traditional dances. They teach in primary schools, secondary schools. And if they actually continue their studies further, like study masters or PhD, they actually teach in universities. And that's where they do more extensive research and analytical thinking about traditional dances. Or if you just simply love to dance traditional dance, you can try an audition for the government bodies that have their cultural and dance team. Government bodies like JKK and Istana Budaya, MBPJ and DPKL. And a few of my friends are in the police department also, which has their own cultural team. Yeah, and you actually get paid monthly, you know, and you get all the benefits as you would if you were to work for a government. Mm-hmm. So that's a steady job.
Nice.
A really steady job. And you get to learn firsthand from people from the government that actually did their research in the past. You actually get more information and more sources that you can look up to, because the government keeps all this information in certain areas. Yeah.
Do they make the information public?
They do, but yeah, they do. There's actually libraries that you can go to, like all these bodies, JKKN, Istana Budaya, MBPJ, DBKL, they each have their own library where you can actually ask them if other information about a certain dance that you want to look up for. Mm. Yeah, but it's actually really, it's quite chaotic, to be honest. It's all over the place. Tapi there is information. You just have to be really patient.
And if you want to teach traditional dance, do you have to have a certificate? Like, do you have to take a degree like you did or be under a company or something?
Actually all seniors that I know who made a career out of traditional dance, all of them studied diploma degree and did their master's in dance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they specialized in traditional dance and their thesis was about traditional dance. So I would say it's a responsibility, you know, carry traditional dance. It's, you are actually carrying a history of the country and a history and a culture. So you have to have some sort of certification that backs you up so that people actually want to learn from you, you know? Yeah. But that doesn't stop you from actually sharing what you know. Like, I only studied up till degree and I only know a limited amount of Malay traditional dance, but because I loved it so much and I've performed it numerous times and I've also learned it from Aswara and the pioneer itself. So whenever you have these experiences, make sure to note it down and tell people that you actually worked with a lot of organizations or pioneers or choreographers. Then, you know, as long as you have the validation, then it should be fine. Yeah.
Are there a lot of opportunities that are so-called stable? Because most dancers, I think if you go on it full-time, I think that's the main worry, whether it's stable, you know, being a full-time dancer and all that. Mm-hmm. So macam like, do you, like, can you actually survive just being a traditional dance instructor or educator? Or do you need to like be a bit more flexible and macam like ajar some contemporary or street dance?
I think you can survive just solely by teaching traditional dance, because honestly, there's a lot of traditional dance to learn. And to actually nurture someone to be good in dancing traditional dance actually takes a long time. So I think you can definitely survive by solely teaching traditional dance. But you as a teacher, I really encourage you to also expose yourself to different styles. If not a master, but at least gain some sort of experience about, you are teaching a generation that loves street dance, you know, that is very exposed to street contemporary ballet more than traditional dance. So you want to tap into their world and see how you can relate traditional dance and get into their, you know, try and explain it in a way that they would understand. Because how they think is not how you think, you know. You might relate quickly to traditional dance just by hearing it right from the source. But, you know, with the younger generations, you kind of have to go by slowly. And it's always a plus to learn and be flexible in different styles, because then you can actually take the traditional dance and take it to a whole new level while maintaining the original form.
So how should, like, non-traditional dancers, street dancers, support traditional dance? Like, I think you said, like, we have to, like, learn about it and give it respect.
I would say, you know, if you're an aspiring dancer, you should probably try one of the traditional dances. Yeah, because I would say it would really challenge you, not just dance-wise, but also it would definitely give you a new perspective in dance. Yes, because that's how traditional dance for me is. And how you can, you know, support traditional dance is by learning it, of course. Learning it and maybe incorporate it in one of your works. You know, some people don't really know traditional dance, but they love the music and they love the costume. Simple things like DK Bharat, you know, you see some dance studios incorporating DK Bharat, and then they get their students to wear macam kain pelikat, you know, and songkok. Things like that. Yeah. It doesn't have to be traditional dance at its purest form, but incorporating bits and pieces of it is a way to slowly engage whoever that you come across with.
And how do you see the support from the dance community right now towards traditional dance? Is it growing? Is it stagnant?
I have two worlds, you see. I have my street dance friends and I have my aswara friends, people who actually learn traditional dance. And people who actually learn traditional dance, they are really supportive lah. Whatever inang challenge, joget challenge, zapin challenge, semua diorang buat. And I feel I have not been enough of a support because I haven't done any of the challenges. But I'm going to do one of the challenge by Kero Mokta. So if any of you want to challenge yourself and, you know, maybe try out Inang dance, go search Kero Mokta on Instagram or on TikTok. You can try out the Inang challenge.
How do you spell that?
KeroMoktar. I would say you don't really have to wait for a teacher to teach you traditional dance. Just learn it dulu, you know. But be honest with it lah. Okay, I learned this off YouTube or TikTok or whatever. Here's my take on it.
So the challenge is like you just learn it off of the...
Yeah, you just learn it off. Yeah.
Okay.
If you really want some sort of basic, come learn from me. I'll be happy to teach you. Yeah. About all the dance studios that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. But basically, just try it out. Really, there's no harm in trying.
When do you start your classes?
I start my classes the first week of October, the first Saturday and Sunday, which is 2nd and 3rd of October.
Okay.
Come.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like attending a traditional Malay class.
Yes, let's explore the Ayu Diana.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay. Nanti you assalamualaikum sis.
Dia jadi gadis Melayu terakhir.
Yes. I came across this dancer, Carmen Loke. She does freestyle and a bit of, not a bit, she does freestyle and popping though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and in one of her Instagram videos, I saw her incorporating like traditional dance hand gesture. And I'm like, whoa, that was awesome. Things like that, you know, like I said, if you don't give it a chance, you really don't know how you would feel about it. I think people really, really have like a false interpretation, or macam the image of traditional dance is always like it's boring, it's repetitive, and it's not interesting. But honestly,
it's always popping, it's always hip hop, it's always locking, you know, like it's always the same few things, you know, like if it's locking and there's a scooter, a skeeter rabbit, and then there's a lock and then there's a swirl.
Correct.
Yeah, for popping, there's a Fresno. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Correct, right? So these are actually like the same scenarios, but if you go to the right sources and learn from the right people,
you can like incorporate it in your choreography and make it look unique.
They will actually teach you the beauty of the dance. They don't see this dance as boring, repetitive, and, you know, not helping or not engaging or not worth you learning because it's very easy and there's actually no foundation to it. You go to the right source, you know. You don't take the dance as how you see it, you know.
Don't take it at face value, basically, right?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for sharing that. That's nice. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. That's really nice.
Yeah. You're most welcome.
Are you ready for our lightning round?
Oh, no. No. No.
No thinking required. Just answer off the top of your head, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay. What is your favorite vegan recipe?
My favorite vegan recipe is my own recipe. Spaghetti carbonara, vegan style.
Oh, how do you make it vegan?
I actually use no eggs, no dairy, almond milk, nutritional yeast, which is kindly given to me by Intel, and mushrooms. It's actually really, really easy. And a few seasoning and then you're good to go.
No cashews?
No cashews. No need cashews.
I've heard that using oat milk gives you like thicker consistency.
Can also, but almond milk was what I had in my fridge. And I didn't want to follow any recipe by then, but that was like, whoa, this is so easy.
Yeah, sometimes I cook with soy milk as well. Soy milk and nooch.
Yes, definitely.
All right, Diana.
All right, next question. Favorite type of headscarf?
Before you answer this question, like, I think the world needs like a tutorial on how you tie your hijab, you know, for dancers.
I know. Diana has been telling me, I promise it's on the way.
You did one, right?
I did one and then I didn't like how I, you know. Anyway, I think I've got the hang of it. But favorite type for dancing?
For dancing.
Favorite type of headscarf for dancing would definitely be cotton and bawal. Square scarf.
Oh, yeah. And then you put like on the key and you pakai the bandana.
Yeah, the bandana. And then I just tie it around my bun or around my head. And that works well if I were to dance street dance ke. If I need to roll and dance contemporary dance, I actually like to wear apa ikat bawal tu, like really behind your neck.
Oh, okay. So how about for your daily wear?
For my daily wear is jersey, man.
No.
Yeah, I just sap lambung macam tu je. I actually don't wear much chiffon because I'm lazy to iron.
Oh my god.
Yeah, tapi it looks nice. So kalau I rajin, I iron. Tapi if I'm really in a hurry, I reach out for my jersey scarves. Yeah.
What is your go-to mama order?
My go-to mama order? I jarang pergi mama actually. But if I were to order, it would probably be roti kosong.
Air
limau ais kosong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite classes to go to here? Dance classes.
Favorite dance classes to go to
here? Okay, on the top of your head, your favorite dance classes to go to.
My favorite dance class to go to currently is Abang Azmi punya silat class. And also, I really love going to John's class actually because he challenges my tick, 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 you know. I always get so stressed out in his class. But whenever I get his choreography, I am satisfied and I'm low-key proud of myself. So, I always try and make time to learn from John. Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot more. Tapi I can only choose one ke hao.
No, you can list down yeah, you can list down how many ever you want. Like the reason I asked this question, I put in this question was so that like people listening on this, they would be like, oh, okay, so I've never heard of this person before. So why not give it a try? Danila said this.
I also love to learn from my seniors from Aswara. They don't really open up classes. There is an academy who actually teaches classical Indian dance or all form of Indian dance, which is called the Temple of Fine Arts. So I'm privileged enough to learn from the teachers from Temple of Fine Arts during my Aswara days. And I remember that, you know, it's one of my favorite classes to go to because Indian dance is really challenging and I really love learning Indian dance. So if any of you who really want to learn Indian dance right from the source, I definitely suggest go to Temple of Fine Arts.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Do you prefer teaching or taking class?
I prefer... Well, this is so hard. At the back of my head, right from the bat, I really prefer taking classes. Tapi, I have such a passion for teaching. Especially when I'm really sure of what I'm about to teach, you know. I just get very excited. And when I start to rumble on my words, that's when you know I'm really excited and really passionate to teach.
Okay, do you prefer performing or directing?
Right now, I prefer directing. Because I have preferred performing for 10 years, I think. Only recently, last year, I preferred directing.
If you weren't a dancer, what would you be?
If I weren't a dancer, what would I be? I cannot answer this. My mind is blank. I really don't see my future without dance. But if I were really to answer this, I guess if I really continue studying medicine, I'd probably work in a clinic, you know. I wanted to be a dermatologist, so probably I'll be that. But really,
my dermatologist though.
At that time, I was having a lot of breakouts. So I was like, I want to be a dermatologist to help young teenagers solve their skin problem. So that motivated me.
Nice.
That's a very noble cause though. Helping people feel better about themselves. And that's really good thing.
Yeah, because you know, love, who likes having breakouts, right? It's a thing we all have to go through. So
but it's a normal thing though.
I know it's normal. Chuma, some of my friends have it really bad.
The bad one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I got the inspiration from. Yeah.
Who do you want to collab with?
Ayoyo, Ramai.
You can list them.
Yeah, you can list them out.
I really want to collab with my senior Abang Azmi, my senior Kak Zing Ying, my senior Abang Kerry, and my senior Abang Yunus. Okay, all these people is basically from Aswara. And they are dancers and teachers that I look up to so much. They can dance all form so beautifully. And the more reason I want to collab with them is they have studied abroad also. Mm. And I really want to see how they choreograph. I want to see how they teach. I really want to see the process of them creating. Yeah. So that's really more of a traditional contemporary side of collaboration lah. To explore my street style, let's see. I would definitely want to collab with John, but I think he would.
Oh, yeah. We got to see that.
I would definitely want to collab with John because I think he would really challenge me. I also really
would challenge him. No. It's the other way around.
And I really want to collab with Andrew. He's just sick. Like, we all know how he is with his choreography and how analytical he is. And I also want to collab with all the hijabi dancers here in Malaysia. My mission to get all hijabi dancers in one show. Sooner,
let's do a flash mob, man.
Yes, sooner rather than later, I'm going to make this happen. Yeah. So here in this podcast, you have my word. If it takes me years to make this come true, it will happen. Yes. So we're going
to listen to that, people. Listen to that. I might have to start wearing tudung so then. Just so that I can join the show.
yes, yes. So like, to all the dancers listening, if you happen to be a hijabi, please add me up on Instagram, leave me a note so that I can follow you back, so that I can put you on my data list so that when this time comes, then I can just reach out to all of you. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
It'd be so cool to see like a bunch of us in the streets of KL.
Just know, right? Well, hopefully we will definitely present ourselves in a way that the kecam would be in a very low level. Yeah. But honestly, like, I feel like macam, the reason I want to collaborate with all hijabis is really not really to prove a point atau to really macam create a riot. No, it's really just to normalize people seeing hijabis as a dancer. That's all.
Yeah.
It's basically just to normalize seeing us as dancers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I made the decision to wear a hijab and still pursue a career in dance, I didn't see why is that a limitation. So I just want to share how I feel, and that's all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Last one before we close it up.
Okay.
What is your one piece of golden advice that you want to give to dancers? Any kind of dancer.
My advice is to not take anything for granted, such as whatever opportunities you have, don't take it for granted. Every dance class, every dance encounter you have, just don't take it for granted. And be observant, question, ask yourself questions, and always try to figure out your way along. And also don't train for other people. Don't dance for other people. Always dance for yourself. And this is really, really very, very hard, especially if you are pursuing dance as your career. Because along the way, people are going to tell you you have to dance a certain way and whatnot and whatnot. But you really have to differentiate between training and also who you are as an artist. And these two have to be balanced, which is really hard. Yeah.
That's such good advice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Akka. Is there anywhere that our listeners can look for you?
You can definitely look me up on my Instagram, but please don't laugh at my Instagram name. Dalila Bloop Bloop is DalilaBloopBloop. If you want to know why I named that as my Instagram handle, you can personally ask me, because I'm not going to share it out. It's just very embarrassing. But yeah, I have Facebook as well, but I'm really more active on my Instagram. And if you want to see some of my full length performances or video films, video dance film that I did before this, you can check out my YouTube, which is Dalila Samad.
Also, check out her new dance company, DS Dance Company.
Yes, yes. Please give my new dance company a follow, DS Dance Company on Instagram. We're working on opening a YouTube channel and also a Facebook account, which will be up pretty soon. Yeah.
Nice. All the best for that.
Thank you.
Big projects coming soon.
Hopefully, inshallah. It's in the list, but we'll see what we can do. Yeah.
All right. We'll tell people to keep a lookout for it.
Yes, okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's all for this episode. We hope you learned a thing or two from Akka Dalila. For me now, when I dance hip-hop or popping, I can't help but think of it as a type of traditional dance. Maybe we should use the phrase cultural dance instead to describe traditional dance as we know it. But anyway, it's been a wonderful chat with Dalila. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share it with your friends and subscribe so that you don't miss out on the next one. Till then, stay healthy and keep dancing!
Nice.
Okay, we good, Sean?
Okay, cut.